The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to the Lord.
While the crowd was pressing in on Jesus and listening to the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. He saw two boats there alongside the lake. The fishermen had disembarked and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, he asked him to put out a short distance from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. After he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and lower your nets for a catch." Simon said in reply, "Master, we have worked hard all night and have caught nothing, but at your command I will lower the nets." When they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their nets were tearing. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come to help them. They came and filled both boats so that the boats were in danger of sinking. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at the knees of Jesus and said, "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For astonishment at the catch of fish they had made seized him and all those with him, and likewise James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners of Simon. Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." When they brought their boats to the shore, they left everything and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord. It's such a powerful gospel passage, this call and response of Jesus's first disciples. And I think, for me at least, it leaves always a mark, because we know something about fishermen, we know something about the trade as it was in first century Palestine. I mean, these are no-nonsense guys, right? These are no-nonsense guys. Not only they work with their hands, they work with their hands overnight in very difficult conditions. And you can imagine them bringing their boats ashore, disembarking, taking out the nets, washing them, right? Getting ready then to go back home for a little bit of rest before they'd have to be coming back out on the sea again. A fruitless effort in the night, which was the time to catch fish, and being told to set back out and do it again by a carpenter, right? not a fisherman. Challenging. And yet there's something there that we should note about, I would say the charisma, it sells him short, but the authority that is experienced in Jesus, just the weight of his personality, the command, the power that he has over people, the trust that they must have had in him, because it was at his word, even though common sense dictated otherwise, that they set out to do the impossible. How would we feel if Jesus got into our business and started telling us what to do? Because I think one of the really interesting things about this passage is that Jesus got into the boat, didn't ask. He did not ask. He just got into the boat. And by getting into Simon's boat, he got into his business. He got into his trade. He got into his life. And, the boats were small enough that he got into his face. Right? They were really in each other's presence. Didn't need to be asked, right? And this is the relationship that we have with Jesus as well. Jesus has gotten into our lives. He's gotten into our business. And how are we now responding in light of his commands? I think some of the most daunting tasks that we face, and you probably know this because I preach on it a little bit, is forgiveness and showing mercy. And certainly that's our mission, is to bring God's love to life. And we could say we can light up the world with God's love. We could say bring God's love to life in the world. But how about bringing God's love to life for the person who's sitting next to you? What would it mean? What would it mean to try to light up that person's life, the person who's sitting next to you, or the person you eat dinner with tonight? By the way, even if that person's yourself, I mean, Saturday nights I eat dinner by myself. How do I allow God's love to permeate my own life? Not close in on myself, not turn in on myself, not be too critical that I threw out a half-hatched homily this evening. You know what I mean? Like, be concerned about the effect that I've had on people's lives. How do I give that up and give that over to Jesus to allow him to work more fully in me, that I might experience his blessing for me in allowing myself to be poured out for others? Last point. Jesus demands everything. Okay? Jesus, you know, I've said it before. God does not want to be a part of your life. God wants your whole life. God wants your whole life. Doesn't want to be just a part. He wants to be your whole life. Jesus demands everything. Everything. There's not one person that we encounter whom Jesus is not asking us to bring God's love to. There's not one place we go that Jesus is not asking us to shine the light of God's love into. Right? He demands everything. But he demands everything because he has already given everything. Jesus has given everything. He's given everything for us. And he knows that the greatest blessing of our life will be when we give everything likewise to God, and we give ourselves for the good of the people that God causes to cross our paths.